You can feel it, can't you? Something shifting, something breaking through. This isn't just a voice. This is a signal. Walls inside your mind, so you would never truly find. But in the silence, in the space, there's something time cannot erase. A quiet knowing, deep and slow, calling you to take control. No more waiting, no more doubt. Welcome to a St. Thomas show. Where the truth begins to glow, not above and not below. It's alive inside your soul. This is where the veils come down, where the lost are finally found. Hear the call, it's time to know you're alive on a St. Thomas show.
Greetings, greetings, and salutations. This is a St. Thomas show. I am St. Thomas the Twin, and you can call me Arrow. And my co-host, Rob Anderson, are you in the house?
I'm not in the house. I'm on the house today because it's beautiful, and I want to be outside getting the sun.
Great, great. I'll say come to the table then. We can have a table outside.
All right.
And it's great to have you here, Rob.
The pleasure and the honor is mine.
Oh, thank you. And Sheila, we want to thank you for showing up in the production manager seat. So you're at the table today, Sheila.
Hey, everybody. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks. I caught you by surprise. I know. Thank you.
She herds all the cats and makes sure that we show up.
Oh, she does. She volunteered to help keep the show together. Thank you. I can't even say thank you enough to Sheila. And thank you to BBS Radio. They are our technical support. We wouldn't have a show without them. And if you listeners have any ideas about doing your own podcast, or you have written a book, or you have music that you would like to put out into the world, call Don and Doug at BBS Radio. They would love to help you get that onto the world stage. And absolute to all listeners, there isn't a show without you. And super duper thank you to all subscribers. Your support is absolutely golden. And I have a song just to bring forth today, and then it kind of leads into the topic. So I'll just do that.
Let's hear it.
Ooh. All right. This song is...
Feel it. Let's feel it.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob, because that... I don't do these songs justice. This is A.V. Kaplan again. And his voice just vibrates the inside of my body when he sings. And I like singing with him. It's interesting when I sing with him to his music, my voice vibrates with him. I have a different voice, but I'm sorry, you're going to get the voice I got today. but I just encourage people to find these singers in these songs. This is Peace Somehow. High on the mountain, deep in the trees, flow with the river, fly on the breeze. Sunlight peeking through the rain, take the toil and the pain. Breathe in, breathe out, find the peace somehow. Spirit is calling through the wind on the pine. Heal the heart, free the mind. Sunlight peeking through the rain. Take the toil and the pain. Breathe in, breathe out. Find the peace somehow. And that's what I want to bring to the table today for everyone.
Yeah,
Yeah.
amazing. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, it's Q's fault. He started this.
Know
You
what?
know.
It's really important for us to sing and feel that resonance. And so many people think that because, well, first of all, they say, "Oh, I can't sing." And it's like, "Well, have you tried?" And most people, well, no. Because it's one of those things we're so self-conscious. Maybe we don't like. You ever hear your voice? Like I remember the first time it happened to me. It was like on a recording, probably like an old voicemail, like back when we used to record voices for your answering machine. But when so many times when people hear their own voice, it sounds weird to them, you know? And so I've heard that for so many people. Oh, I don't like the sound of my voice. And so people are scared to sing. They're scared to have a voice. They have maybe a closed or out of alignment throat chakra. They're just scared to do it. And so it's really powerful exercise if you can start doing it. It doesn't matter if you're good, it's that you do it.
You just told my story. I think it's in the mind. So, my upbringing and the programs in my mind told me, one in sixth grade, I tried out for choir chorus, and only me and the little boy that picked his nose, that he sounded horrible, but I couldn't figure out why I didn't make it. And I finally did figure out later. I practiced this song. And I didn't practice it up here like a high-pitched girl. I practiced my song lower. And then when the teacher played it on the piano, she played it in a higher key. And I tried to match what she was doing. And I wasn't used to it. So I didn't make it. But that told me that I couldn't sing. And then my parents laughed at me when I sang in the shower. They made fun of me. So that told me I can't sing. The only time I sang in front of a high school group, I just was trying out for a theater show just to go through tryouts. I had no intentions of being on stage. I just wanted to go through the process of trying out. And it came around my turn to sing, and it squeaked. It came out with a note, and it went, and everybody laughed. Now, I'm the creator of my reality, and it happened exactly what I knew it would happen. So I think that's now looking back, I think it's funny that, I squeaked and everybody laughed. And then the teacher actually pulled me aside on a one-on-one and had me sing with the piano. And I said, yeah, but I'm not trying out. He goes, I know, but let's sing. I said, yeah, but I'm not trying out. What I learned from the Q shows is that I needed to sing, and it didn't matter what I sounded like. And it was exactly like you said, the first time I heard my recording of my own self, I thought, oh my gosh, wow, that sounds weird. So it is, singing helps me so much. One, it helps me stay in the now.
It's very grounding.
I had an obsessive thought one day, and I would do my commands and get out of it, but man, it would come right back. And I just started singing. That's when I was driving down the road, and so I'm just going down an interstate with not any a lot of activity to use my mind with. And this obsessive thought just kept coming back. I'd command it out and it'd come back. So I started singing. Old MacDonald Had a Cat. E-I-E-I-O, and I sang my cat's name, and then I went with a meow meow here and a meow meow here a meow, there a meow, and then my cat started going meow. And then what I like about that song is you get to create, you get to pick the next animal as you go. So it kept me in the now, and I just kept singing it and singing it until that whatever that thought was just kind of dissipated.
Yeah, it's a tough one with obsessive thoughts. Even so, if you can't sing, even just humming, and you don't have to necessarily, like, it doesn't need to be something spectacular. Like, a lot of times I'll hum, and it won't be a song that I know. I'll just, make something up because it is very grounding, and it brings you into the moment. And also, I think that tone or that vibration or the fact that you're vibrating, it's like you're keeping, it's almost like a force field. Like you're keeping stuff out, you're concentrating on something, and that resonance isn't letting anything in. It's like, yeah, like it's like creating a force field almost, right? Like a little protective bubble that it's like, yeah, I'm creating this vibration, and I'm not letting anything else in. And Sheila has a question, I think.
Oh, I just have something to add about kids and going into parking garages or things like that that echo, and they just love to hear the sound of their voice in there. And then if you whistle when you're in a space like that, it's just even better to me. And then yesterday I was at a store that had a big front entrance and an echo, and the gentleman who was greeting people as customers as they came in was whistling a song. And I turned around and looked him straight in the eye and said, "That was beautiful. You have the best job in the house. Thank you for sharing." So whistling, kids yelling in a tunnel is great.
Nice. Yes. And do you guys re okay, I'm going to pick your brain on memory here. Did you guys remember Q saying that we used to, that's how we used to talk, I think, was singing, or it's not with the language that we have now, but I could swear he said that that's how we used to communicate through singing.
Yeah, it makes sense to me because, well, if you think about somebody's voice and their inflections, you can tell somebody who's speaking from the heart, and I'm practicing it too. That's why, being on this journey, being present in the moment, and that's why I love when we're doing the shows. I don't, it's like you asked, I don't want to know what we're talking about. Maybe a topic or two, but I like showing up and being present in the moment with no preconceived notion, no agenda. That's creation in the moment. Because otherwise, I'm thinking of stuff. Oh, well, what if we say this or that, or then I should say this. And it's like, I want to be authentic in the moment, And I think that's really important. And I totally forgot what the question was. Sorry.
Oh, just I was trying to remember if Q what Q said about us singing. I know he said
Oh, yeah.
something about us singing.
Well, if you listen to the way he spoke, or when people are speaking, that's what I was trying to get. The point I was trying to get to is that when we speak, if we speak, you can hear people that speak. They almost speak like song. They have a type of, like the tone. They have variation in their voice. They're not monotone. They don't sound like they're reading something from memory or a memorized speech. Like if you hear some politicians. Or something like that, they're just reading from a teleprompter or a script, and there's no feeling in it. And that's if you sing your words, and you don't have to sing it out loud, but even the way I'm speaking right now is kind of like a song. I'm talking in different, up and down, different inflections, and that sort of thing, right? To make it playful, make it joyful. It's not like just a computer iterating what's coming out, and that's how some people speak. So it's like when you speak from the heart, it almost becomes a song naturally.
Yeah, very nice. So the only other I want to just talk about peace somehow for the listeners, and the reason we're getting out of the mind and coming down into our hearts, where spirit is, our spirit is in our heart, and our spirit is 100% in peace at all, right? All like in the now, that's our spirit. So the song says, "Find the peace somehow," and I want to back that up. Find it at all costs, and I say that at all costs, and that's because if I find the peace, and that will be finding my spirit. That is our spirit. Our spirit is peace. So you're finding your spirit when you find your peace, and at all costs. There's no way I'm going to be at peace if I'm harming somebody. So don't worry about the consequences of at all costs.
Yeah. I bumped my mic up a bit. Can you hear me better now?
Oh yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah.
realize it was that low. I didn't adjust it. I don't know what happened there. So,
It just seemed when Sheila talked, and I can't hear myself, of course, but it was like you were a little bit lesser. So,
yeah, it was definitely low when I checked it, and I don't know why. I didn't. It just kind of defaulted to that level, so I'm not sure why. So, apologize, listeners, if you guys couldn't hear what I was saying.
The other thing I have said that I want to bring this to the table, and I'm glad I got someone to help me today. So just to remind the listeners, we don't prep this show. We're just coming to the table kind of improving, and so we haven't planned this topic or anything. But I noticed, and it's funny how I didn't notice it in myself. I noticed it in somebody else, and then a week went by, and then I went, oh, nailed. Like, oh, okay, me too. That's what I'm doing. And it's interesting because I didn't realize I was doing it. I come to this table and I constantly say, I am the creator of my own reality. And then, well, how do I use source? How do I bring source in? How do I, you know, the difference, what we've okay, we have been taught that, you know, in this Christian religion, we were taught that there's a God up above in the stars in heaven. And we know now that that is a dark alien God. And when we pray, pray, to this God in the sky, that we actually become the prey, prey. So a lot of us, the Q trainers, the Q family, a lot of us change the word God to source. We are creator or spirit within. And what I realize, I'm doing all of my commands to spirit within. Right now I've brought God, source, creator within me, so I've located it inside of me. But get this, one of my Q sisters came on her show and she admitted she cussed out source one day. She cussed out source for not fixing her cat. And you know, immediately I'm like, go look in the mirror, your source. You're the creator of your reality. Go look in your source. You're just cussing yourself out. But you know, it took me a week to realize that when even though I'm saying spirit within, there's it doesn't matter what words have I shifted my conscious comprehension. I still, even though I'm praying to source God inside me, I'm still not identifying it as me. I am source.
Yeah.
Rob,
Well,
you said I am, you said we're creation last week. So that was kind of a key in too, right?
Yeah, that's the thing is like we are creators, but like we're creation because I don't know, like to just say you're a creator, like what does that mean? Like we are creation, creating all the time. Like it's nonstop. It's not, you know, like every moment of every day you're creating something. Like if you look left, you look right. That's all creation. You go up and down. That's whatever you're shining your light on, which I talk about our visual field of what we're looking at. That is your creation. You know, like so. Yes, we are creators. We have hands to make things with, and that's all fine and dandy. But we are actually just creation itself, like manifesting in human form, right?
Right. So what about like when I'm commanding spirit within, I'm commanding me.
Yeah.
And I it really I've said, you know, I'm saying all these words and I don't know, so I guess I have to say the words so many times before it really sinks into the conscious shift of what I'm saying, maybe. But that was my aha moment is, you know, and it comes, I don't talk about, I've had a cat that I've had an issue with for years. Well, I just don't ever bring it to the table. I don't talk about it because I know I create the said problem by talking about the said problem. Then
Well,
I'm creating the problem.
and that's an important thing too, is that, you know, I remember Ron Amitron specifically saying, Source can't give you anything. It's not going to fix your cat. It's not going to bring you a car. It's going to give you peace. Maybe those things will come to you as a result of your peace. But so, like, that's the whole point, is that what you pray to, you become prey to, is that you're a lot of times prayers are asking for favors for something. Well, please help heal this, or please do this, or please make sure Billy gets a, you know, passes his test and gets into university so he can get out of my house already. Like, all those things are almost like you trying to manipulate reality itself, whereas Source doesn't give you that. Source energy is peace energy. So you have to just either accept and be at peace with where it is and see all in divine perfection. Otherwise, you're judging. You're judging, you know, Billy's creation. You're judging a cat. Maybe your cat wants to be sick. Maybe its consciousness wanted to experience what it's like to be a sick cat. Who are you to say that that is wrong? Who are you to judge that experience of that being? What it's experiencing. If your brother is going through a tough time and you're praying for him to be better, well, maybe he needs to go through a tough time. Like, not that people want to go through tough times, but it's our conscious choices and decisions a lot of times that bring us the things in our lives, or it's our DNA bringing something forth that needs to be healed and addressed in this lifetime. But to judge it and pray to a God outside of ourselves, that's why we're in the state of affairs we're in, is because it's battle of the minds. People praying for this, and then people praying for that, and then people praying, you know, for all these things outside of themselves, whereas they're not really at peace with the way things are, because it's like you're trying to manipulate reality outside of yourself by asking something higher than you for, like, hey, could you put a little bump in my direction? Maybe give me the winning lotto numbers this weekend. You know?
Yeah. So when I don't like, this is my favorite exercise. When I don't like what my reality is, what I'm observing, what I'm looking at, I stop one, right? That's always a great moment for me just to stop. And then I go, okay, I'm the creator of any, I can create anything. Why am I creating this? Because I am. My reality is my creation. And sometimes I can see the answer in, okay, this is why I'm doing this. And sometimes I maybe don't really get the aha in it, but I know I can stop it. Or, and then get excited about it. That's the other tool is, oh, I just can't wait to see how this turns out.
I think that's the best plan of action to take, because it's like, if you think about it, if you're alive, breathing, listening to this show right now, you're okay. You've made it. You know, generally your problems aren't in the present moment. Unless somebody's actively punching you in the face, all your problems are just in your head mostly. Like, yeah, sure, maybe there's a bill that's due, or, you know, somebody, a friend is sick, but like in that present moment, you know, right now, I've got issues and I've got life circumstances that maybe aren't the best in my opinion. Would I like things to be a little bit better here and there? Yeah, sure. But are there problems? Well, not unless my mind makes them out to be, because I'm here, I'm having a great time with you all, and that's the most important thing. And it's like that's what really matters.
It's not, I can observe what's there, but it's my mind that tells me it's a problem or not.
Yeah, or it creates a story like, oh geez, this always happens, or, well, then that's what's going to keep happening if you keep telling yourself that. And that's the problem with our DNA, is that if we have these recurring events throughout our life, our body keeps bringing them forth until we heal and resolve them. So that's why people end up in the same crappy relationships, the same this. It's different actors, same scene, you know, until you say, oh, maybe this is in me, that I, you know, it's happening through me or to, you know, the saying, like some people say, oh, life's not happening to you, it's happening for you. I might say it's happening through us. And so what's coming through you? What keeps coming up in your life that maybe it's your spirit and your body saying, hey, we need to overcome this, you know, we need to overcome this.
So I might want to shift my perception. If this is an assimilation, and let's say my cat's licking bald spots and she has these bald spots that she's obsessively licking, I want to shift this reality. So, you know, I've done the commands, I've done the healing. I've, you know, first and before all this, this goes way back, you know, at the beginning of maybe listening to Q, I did the doctors, I did I did the $380 allergy test. I removed all the allergic things. And, you know, in Creation Lightship, one time I put the computer next to the cat, ran a clearing, and all of her hair grew back in. And I just thought, bam, I'm, oh, hey, yeah, you know, I celebrated. It was all gone. So 6 months later, it came back. It started again. And so, you know, did all the, but how do I shift my reality? So as long as I'm looking at my cat with bald spots, I see a cat with bald spots. And so what I've decided, or, oh, that's a bad word. Oh, I'm going to bring up that word. I don't like the word decide. And I'm going to give credit to Teresa Songbird, who just pointed out that side means murder, homicide, suicide, and decide is murdering my thought or murdering my spirit with thought. I don't know, but so let's switch that word. So I choose to see a reality with a cat that is fully furred. There are no bald spots on her at all. She is whole and she is healthy. And that's exactly the way I see her.
Yeah, that's the best way you can look at it. Otherwise, you're in direct opposition to the light, to what is. So you're having resistance to what is. And it's just what it is. You know, it's not right or wrong. Like the old parable of, you know, the who knows what's good or bad. It's just what is. You know, and if you don't create this story or this mind-made meaning behind it, you know, that I think that's what really affects a lot of us growing up, because we weren't taught, you know, it's everything outside of us. So we weren't taught to stop creating the story, because, you know, if you have something, it's like, you know, you were saying earlier about your parents laughing at you when you sing, and then that's always what comes up, and then you don't sing because you have that. We're creating our reality from the past because of our DNA. But if we could step outside of that and say, no, not anymore, and heal that past from us, well, then we have the opportunity to create something new, create something from the moment, source energy, that's not based on the past, right?
And then we've also been trained with TV and movies and the narrative from the nefarious who were in charge of Prison Planet. They are not in charge anymore, and this is not Prison Planet. We have the ability to get out of here. But they trained us to see what they wanted us to see, what they wanted us to create. And so for the people dot space, we always put a good plug into for the people dot space with Asha writing there. You know, I think it was in the God thing, is talked about Star Trek. And when it came out, it was an optimistic, hopeful future where humanity had eliminated war, poverty, and disease. In actuality, it was a documentary to awaken humanity so they may remember who they are and create a reality without war, poverty, and disease, which is what we're doing now. I that's how I see it. That's my reality, is that's exactly what we're doing now. We're creating a new earth with no war, no poverty, and no disease.
And it's up
But
to us to do it, and it starts inside of us, you know. That's the first thing. And I always make the joke, like, I grew up watching X-Files, and it's like their slogan is "The truth is out there." And it's like, well, that's a real good way to program a kid to search out there for what all the answers that are within, right? But you mentioned that earlier too. Everything we've ever seen, witnessed. So we not only all the DNA in our parents and all of our ancestors' lives, but everything we've seen in this life has been imprinted upon us. And think about how well they did that. How everything you've seen basically on a screen, or heard on a radio, is some sort of mind control in some way. Because it's like, well, what do you choose to present to people? I don't listen to the radio, but I was on a job with someone, and they were listening to the radio, and they were listening to this news channel. And it was the same story about our premier of our province for 2 days straight. And I didn't say anything, because I just, like, I didn't want to create any conflict. But like, I was just like, this is real strange that this person, this is what they listen to. So in their life, they just keep getting reprinted with this nonsense that has nothing to do with reality, and creation. And that's the thing. Everything you've seen is now imprinted upon you. So all those movies you thought were just movies, and all those war experiences, like, no wonder we have bad dreams. No wonder we have nightmares. No wonder they create false holograms for our spirit to jump into, because it's all imprinted upon us, and they know exactly what's going to trigger us, because it's literally recorded within our cells, right?
Yeah, that's a great point to bring. So my dreams, what I've identified in my dreams is it's all stuff put in ingested into my vessel in my awakened state, whether it's something somebody said, whether it's something I watched. And I realized as a kid, I used to watch these spooky movies with my uncles and then go to bed. And I had nightmares when I was little, and monsters were always in them, and monsters were always chasing me. And I realized as a little bit older kid, that if I don't watch those spooky movies, I don't have nightmares. I don't have monsters in my dreams.
Yeah, because
And
it's
now I.
imprinted it's imprinted in your consciousness. Do you think somebody who grew up like Amish and never watched those movies has dreams like that? Probably not, you know?
Yeah, so now I'm waitressing and I call it not waitress nightmares.
The old truck stop by the side of the road.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's really interesting. I had a dream the other night, and one of the girls I work with was in it, and she was like the good character in my dream. And then for some reason, there was this other waitress showed up, and she was like a thorn in my side. And she was a waitress from another restaurant. But when I woke up, I was like, but I really liked her. She was never a thorn in my side. Now, the restaurant that she came from was. I had a problem at that particular restaurant with other women, but not the one that was in my dream. So I thought, well, at least I was bringing the one I liked into it. But I did in the dream then have a problem with her. It's just, and I just laugh, right? Because what else do you do when you wake up with it? Just laugh.
Well, that's the
But
thing about dreams is you can timeline crash them, because then you wake up and it's like you're not in your present reality because you're thinking about your dream, which is like, what the heck? And until you find out that dreams are parallel lives, that one's a tough one to swallow. And it's like, well, if you wake up in a cold sweat, you can't tell me like your body is reacting like that was real. So whatever your spirit was imprinted with in that parallel life, your spirit brought back and is now your body vessel that you're in is experiencing it. Because like I don't have them too often anymore, but I had one a few weeks ago where I woke up, I don't even remember what the dream was, but I woke up like heart pounding and sweating, and I was just like, wow, like that's crazy. If you think about what they're actually doing to us, they're not only they're getting us during the day, they're getting us in our sleep as well. Very clever.
And because of, I just want to clarify the words they are doing to us. I'm in my reality, it was a past tense. They aren't doing anything to me today. And but we had to wake up to find out what was going on so that we can free ourselves from the prison planet, which is just a connection. It's a connection of our minds. I think, let me find, I have another for the people. I think it might be, let me just read this one. It's very rare. Okay, this is for the people, dot space, slaves no more, slaves no more. It's very rare. Anyone actually has thoughts that are genuinely their own. The mind is a receiver connected to the old empire's mind control system, but your heart will always be connected with your spirit, and your spirit, even with amnesia, remains eternally connected with peace in the now, where true wisdom can reach you when you rely on spirit instead of the mind. So that's where, when you say what they were doing to us, but if I'm living from my mind, that mind is still connected maybe to that control system, that old empire control system. And it's about getting out of the mind and going to our hearts and finding peace.
And you know what? It's interesting, and it's okay to be at peace. That's the thing, is that a lot of times when I, if you're like somebody shared a quote with me, and I forget who said it, but it's like the mind will choose familiar chaos over unfamiliar peace every time because it knows the chaos. Like, if you want to say, oh, like, if you want to just be like blaming your problems or blaming whatever's going on or blaming the anxiety or whatever inside of you, oh, it's Donald Trump or it's Canadian Prime Minister, well, that's fine. But you're creating that. But it's okay to be at peace. It's okay to not have these thoughts. It's okay, like, and it feels foreign to us, but the mind wants to jump to what it knows. It wants to blame something for the circumstance it finds itself in. So if you find your life unacceptable, it's easy to blame, well, it's the economy, oh, it's, you know, it's this, it's that, but it's not. And I know what it's like to wake up, you know, one go to bed feeling chaos and then wake up the next morning and feeling peace and being, it feels so foreign. It almost feels like something's wrong. Like, wait a minute, I shouldn't, it's like, you know, St. Paul, the peace that passeth all understanding. It's like, wait, given, how is it that I'm at peace when, you know, yesterday or even an hour ago I was in turmoil? Well, because a lot of times it's just a choice. Like I love Osho's quote, there's no such thing as peace of mind, it's peace or mind. So in mind is
Right.
in
Oh, I
time.
like that. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know, one of my big hang-ups was the unknown. I would be so fearful of the unknown that I would choose the constant pain and chaos and the constant obnoxiousness over the not knowing. That's where I, over the years, was really hung up on. But that's just a training in my mind. It just trains me in my mind. What if, what if, what if, playing, fantasizing about all of these unknown things. And of course, I create boogeymans in the mind about what's around the corner because I'm not around the corner yet. Instead of, that's what we're learning here. You know what? I'm creating that when I get around that corner, it's going to be butterflies and flowers and hummingbirds. And, you know, I get to create what's around the corner instead of sitting here masturbating monsters around the corner and being fearful, and oh, I'd rather just stay here then.
And you know what? That's the thing, is that the mind is, it's like the what ifs, right? I used to be that. I used to be the master of what ifs. And then you think you're being, you know, you think you're being diligent and planning, but really you're just creating these false narratives, these false timeline, well, real timelines, but they're in your mind and you're not proactively doing anything. You're just sitting there imagining like disaster. And it's like, well, why would I do that? You know, like, why? And what does it matter? Like, I remember, like, a couple of years ago, I was going through a tough time financially, and like, I didn't even have nice shoes, like, you know, and I was going out prospecting for work, and I was like, oh, I can't go in there, like, these shoes, like, this person's gonna, like, you know, what, like, and I was like, why am I focusing on my shoes with holes in them? And you know, and it's like, and I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm going anyways. And I got there, and like, she was behind this massive desk, like, where it was like, well, it was like more of like a counter. And so as I walked in, she never even had the opportunity to see my shoes. And I was like, I created this like hour long, you know, fantasy nightmare in my mind about my shoes. And it's like, well, whatever, what does it matter? Like, I might not, and I'm probably never going to see this person again. So who gives a shit, pardon the French, about what she thinks about my shoes? You know, like, but that was stopping me from moving forward because it was like, I was creating this narrative, and it's like, you know, and I had to laugh afterwards, and I was like, there's no way she would ever saw my shoes from where she was.
Well, I want to bring it back to the God talk here because I really feel it's around the corner for the masses to get the information about being seated on this planet, the negative aliens, and so many Christians are trained in the doctrine. We've been trained that this doctrine is truth, and this, and I just know that a lot of that's how I were leading in from what we just said was, you know, the doctrine is what some people devoted their whole life to what they believed was right and true was God and Jesus and doing the right thing and being kind to our neighbors. And they've just given all their heart and soul to all of that. And it won't be easy then to accept that was all controlled and all mind. And it was all narrative by a dark alien race that wanted to control us. And so this is another For the People, on Slaves No More. It is when the truth comes out about God, about existence, and the nature of reality, many will have breakdowns as identities are shattered. That shattering can also remove mind control, return memory, and spiritual power. You will all know and experience yourself as a creator, an infinite divine being who has been told for thousands of years you are a peon who must then beg for favors and turn to this God in the sky. And so it's going to be okay if we feel like we're having a breakdown. So many people on this journey have said to me, "Oh, I feel like I'm losing my mind." And I just go, "Yay, that's great." Because we're supposed to get that, like we feel like we're losing our minds is really the best place we can get to.
Well, it's true because I always tell people it's like, no, you're not losing. Like I felt the same way, and then I realized, and I told this to a friend, and they're like, wow, that's exactly the way to say it. And I was like, I felt like I was losing my mind, but then I realized up until that point in time, I was lost in my mind or mind. I don't even say my mind because I don't think mind is local. Like you said, our brain is a receiver, but mind is in time. So it's not, it, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't say mine anymore. It's not my mind. It's the mind, you know, like
The matrix. I
the
like to
collective,
refer to it
the
as the
collective
matrix.
consciousness, you know. I don't take ownership over any mind energy because it's not mine.
And so I just really encourage this, being okay and finding peace somehow, even though everything we've known is shattering, everything we've known is falling apart. Just find the peace somehow, somehow.
And so for people, if they're saying, well, how do you do that, Arrow? Well, I'll share my example this morning. So, you know, now that I'm back working a full-time job, which, you know, lots of overtime during the week, and so Sunday it was like, okay, I have all this list of to-dos that I want to nail through that are I called it the to-don't list this weekend because it's like I have all these things I wanted to do, but what I really wanted to do is I woke up and it's like the warmest morning of the year so far. And I just went in the backyard. I did Qigong and it's like, you know what? I want to go down to the lake. And I walked down to the lake super slowly, like just at the most casual pace. I walked through, talked to the trees, smelled the flowers. And I just like that all the stuff that was, you know, like that was seemingly barking at me that it's like, okay, I'll do on Sunday. It's like, I'm not doing any of that. I'm going down, I'm doing Qigong, I'm getting the energy flowing in my body, and then I'm taking a casual saunter down to the lake, and then I just, you know, took a quick dip and I chatted with some lady there that stopped to ask me about the water because she goes swimming there too. And then you know, and that's how you find peace. That is choosing it. Or you choose the turmoil. Okay, I got this huge to-do list, which is fine if you want to do it, if you can do it from a place of peace. I do my to-do lists way better when I'm at peace rather than, oh, I have to do this, I got to get this done, because then you're forcing outcomes. You're trying to push a wet string and you're forcing something that is just feels unnatural. But when you go with the flow, things seem to work out a lot better, don't they?
I caught myself going having a thought over the a money situation, and I had to ca really catch myself. And then so for me, I'm in a restaurant. It's my fourth year, and I actually love waiting tables. I don't do it year round. It's seasonal. And every time when I first come back, my very first tables with customers, I just come back to the kitchen all warm and fuzzy, because I love talking to these people. And I love the girls I work with. I love the people I think the owners have really a great quality restaurant. I'm really impressed with what they've done with it. And so it's fun to come back. The girls I work with, I haven't seen since last summer, so it's fun to come back and see them. And so there's a lot of this is the Black Hills. It's where Mount Rushmore is. Millions of people come here in the summer, and the businesses have to bring in usually college kids, but not necessarily. Some of them are older on work visas, but we bring a lot of people in. So we have Hondurans, Mexicans, and Jamaicans. And one of the kids I've known for a few years now, he comes every summer. He's from Jamaica. And I said, so you've seen Mount Rushmore? Yeah. I said, well, what about hiking? Have you hiked here in the Black Hills? There's a peak that's higher than all the other. It's the highest point. And you get up there, there's a lookout tower, and you can literally get this view that's just spectacular because you're at the highest point and you're just looking out in a distance. That's really nice. And so when people visit me here, that's the first, if they want to go hiking, that would be the first hike. And so he'd never been there. And so I'm like, okay, well, these people that come from foreign countries, one employer brings them here, but they usually walk down the street and get a second job. So these guys are working 6 and 7 days a week. And so I got him to commit to a certain day. He had off on a Tuesday on the one job, but he had to work the other job. I said, well, ask off. I said, we could do a small hike after that job, or you can ask off and we'll do a big hike. He chose to ask off and we were going to do this big hike. And it's one that I haven't done. It comes into the peak behind. Like I always do the 3 mile hike, which is the shortest version of this to get there. But there's a huge hike behind the peak that you can come in the other way. And I always wanted to do it. So I scheduled with him. And I went in yesterday, and he's not only working one job, he's working two jobs that day. That his schedule changed. And I'm like, okay, I asked off on that day. So now I'm going to miss out on the money of that day because I asked off to go on this hike and to show this guy this really fabulous place that's nice to hike to. And I caught myself going, man, I really could use that money. But, you know, it dawned on me that obviously I need to take that hike by myself. I have wanted to do it for many years and have not come in on the backside. But I just have to laugh at how trained the mind is, right? The first thing I went to was, oh, I asked off and now I won't have that money.
Yeah. It's funny how the way the mind works, right? Like these silly little things, it just always jumps to that, right? And I totally understand what you mean because I've been in that down that road too. But the hike was probably worth more than the money, right?
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. It took my brain. I think Sheila, were you telling us about the time?
Yes, I was. Yes. Awesome. I have about seven minutes or so left.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, the hike, you know, it doesn't take me very long to recognize a thought about money. I mean, I've been, you know, dealing with those ever since I've been on the Q train. I've been looking at money and letting go of the concepts of it. So it catches me by surprise because here I am again going the money first. It's the first go-to of the mind. And then it's just stepping aside, going, observing and going, yeah, that's typical of my mind. And okay, it's all right. And then giggling and knowing right away, because I was at work when I found out and I thought maybe I should get back on the schedule. Maybe I should, you know, that was that money thing that popped up. Oh, the money. And then I caught myself and I realized, oh no, this is the day that I get to take this very long hike with my spirit, with my source energy. All 12 frequencies in the office are all going to come with me on my hike, and it's going to be a fabulous day.
Yeah.
Rob.
Well, just on a similar thing. So like I did the same thing last weekend. You know, it was like, I have this to-do list. And I was like, okay, well, I got to go to the grocery store and then I got to do this. And my brother was here and I'm trying to maximize my time with my brother because I haven't seen him in 5 months. And, you know, I'm speaking the way my mind was thinking, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Okay, we're going to go here and I got to do this first because we need this. And so I walk out the door to go to the grocery store, and I get there. I get to the kind of like the junction where it's like left is the grocery store, right is the, you know, the nature path. And I was like, spirit, what are we doing? And I went down the nature path and I walked all the way down to the nature path and to the creek. And it was so amazing because then my mom caught up with me because she was going there too. It was a place that I showed her. And it was amazing because I decided to do that instead of rushing to the grocery store. You know, I needed to slow the pace down. And it was so beautiful because I saw a bird that I've never seen before because there were salmon swimming up the stream. And so in the creek, there was salmon. And so we were like, oh, check it out. And she was asking me what kind of fish those are. And then all of a sudden I see this bird fly by and it lands in the tree and it's eyeing out the salmon. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I was Googling it and it was, it's called a black-crowned heron. And it's so beautiful. And I've never seen one. I've lived for 42 years. I might never see one again. But if I had chose the mind and went to the grocery store because I had to, you know, seemingly, you know, on this time constraint, I might have never seen that bird in my entire life. But because I decided to go with my spirit and go out into nature, I was gifted with this just amazing experience, you know?
Yes, nice.
Yeah.
I'm gonna I'll have my wrap up and then I'll give you a chance. And Sheila, I'll even give you a chance if you had any ending comments. But again, I don't know why I'm just pouring out for the people today in the God thing. This is a kind of not exactly quoted because I'm throwing some of my own stuff. So Yeshua taught that humans are equal to him. 2,000 years ago, my brother Yeshua was here teaching humans that we were all equal. It was, and then the quote from In For the People is, "The old empire operatives reversed his teachings. They named him Jesus, and they named him as the one and only God, separate and more powerful than any human could ever hope to be." And this is such a lie. So I like to bring these lies to the table. That one of the first things I ever heard from Q interviews, he was being interviewed before he started his own shows. And he said he was in one of the light columns in the body of Yeshua. But he also explained, we all have the same abilities as Yeshua. Today, we all have the same abilities. And then the other quote that came out of that same part of For the People is, "You were created to soar through existence free with all of your spiritual powers, awareness, and full knowing of who you are. So allow yourself to know. Go find that peace somehow, come to your heart, and know that we are the gods and goddesses creating our own realities, and we are all powerful. We are equal to Yeshua, equal." Oh, Rob, do you have any closing comments?
Just true peace and mastery are to be gentle and extend grace and loving compassion no matter what the stress levels are. So that first goes towards yourself. And I think that on this journey, it's easy to be most critical of ourselves because we're like, God, how do we, pardon the wrong, the use of that word, but how did I not see this before? And so it's not always easy, right? And so it's to really be true and honest with yourself about what you prefer, because it's like, do you want to be a slave to time or things, the to-do list? Like I said, the to don't list, to don't do that today. Go with, you know, take, go right and go through nature instead of, you know, going left into time, I guess.
Yep. And Sheila, did you just want to say goodbye or any closing comments?
I just want to say goodbye and beautiful day to everyone. This has been a wonderful show.
Thanks, Sheila. And BBS, I guess we'll call that a wrap. Love, love, love.
Thank you, everybody.